Today's Bible reading is taken from Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. Humble service in the body of Christ. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, from one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Amen.
Thanks, Faustine. Well, good morning, folks. If we haven't met before, my name's John Joe Burns. I'm the associate pastor here. And it's my pleasure to help us look more at God's Word, the Bible, this morning. Hopefully, you received this handout and a pen on your way in. You'll want to keep that handy or make sure that you have another way of taking notes as we go throughout our time now. And you'll want to keep that passage from Romans chapter 12 open if you can. Before we jump in, though, let's speak to God in prayer again and commit this next portion of our time to Him. So let's pray briefly. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us through your word, the Bible, these ancient words by which we can come to know you and your great love for us. As we look at them together now, we pray that you'll be opening our eyes to see and ears to hear what you have to say to us, and opening our hearts and minds to understand what that means for our lives. Amen. Amen. Well, what are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? What really fires you up? Not fires you up in a bad way, gets you angry, fires you up in a good way. You feel passionate and excited about something. We're going to get straight into that handout. This is activity number one. What are you passionate about? Take 30 seconds and write down a thing or two. For example, you might be passionate about administration and ordering things. You might be passionate about justice and seeing wrongs made right. You might be passionate about food and eating and hospitality. So take 30 seconds, have a think, write it down. What are you passionate about? And then we're going to share with some people around us. So after 30 seconds, I'll get you to introduce yourself to someone near you and say what you're passionate about. So let's go. Write something down. 30 seconds. What are you passionate about? Go. Okay, that's 30 seconds. Now turn to someone sitting near you. Introduce yourself, even if you know them. Try and avoid speaking to your family. Say, hi, I'm John Joe, and I'm passionate about what? Go, have a quick chat. 30 seconds. All right, that's 30 seconds. Thank you for sharing. Good sharing, well done. We're not going to share everything collectively, but I hope you got an idea of some things that people are passionate about. That's great. I'll invite you to return your attention to the front. Very good. I like these conversations. You'll have more time to talk. Don't worry. Well, I have another question for you now, and this time you don't have to answer it out loud. Just think about the answer. But when I asked you what you were passionate about, did any of you put anywhere on your list that you were passionate about glorifying God by living as Jesus' followers and witnesses? Or learning more about the good news of Jesus, or sharing that good news, or loving those, both in and beyond our community, or depending on God in prayer, or worshipping God? That's all right, you don't have to answer. Like I said, that's rhetorical. These, of course, are key elements from our new mission and vision statement. We adopted these and some values as a church a few months ago, and we've just spent the last 6 weeks looking at them in our preaching. So hopefully by now they're starting to stick in your minds. But if you need a hand remembering these, then make sure to get your hands on these new postcards that we got last week that have them all written on. We have loads of these, so take a bunch and just stick them everywhere. Put them in the books you read, put them in your Bibles as your bookmarks, put them on your fridge at home, one on each side, put them next to your desk when you're working from home, put them in the middle of your car windscreen so as you're driving, don't do that one. But get your hands on these postcards and get these statements into your mind, because these are the foundation of our life together as a community. This is our purpose. This is our hope for the future. This is how we are to live together. But there's a danger that comes with these statements, you know. You see, these statements can't just be affirmed. Oh, yeah, they sound good. I approve. And they can't just be learnt. I can quote them all to you off by heart. No, these statements need to lead to changes in our behavior if we want them to have any impact at all. And they don't just need to change someone's behavior, some fictional person's behavior. They need to change your behavior, my behavior, our behavior. We can't just affirm these, learn these, and then just keep going about church exactly the same way as we always have. Showing up at the same time on Sundays, sitting in the same seats, speaking to the same people at morning tea, serving in the same ways. And many of these things are good, sure, but many of these things are also comfortable. And I'm sorry to break it to you, but church isn't meant to be comfortable. The Christian life is not an easy life, and the Christian community is not an easy community to be in. Sometimes it hurts us, it can offend us, it can embarrass us. But at the same time, it can welcome us and love us and help us. If we want to achieve our mission, if we want to become the kind of church that we see in our vision, then we need to change our behavior. You will need to change some of your behavior. To help us think through what that might look like, over the next 3 weeks, we're doing a short sermon series called You and Us. You and Us. We're going to look at three ways that you, as individuals, can help us, as a community, live out our mission, vision, and values. How you can contribute to us living out our mission, vision, and values. 3 weeks, three ways, and we start today with Romans 12, verses 3 to 8, where we find the first of these ways. Now, this passage, Romans 12, verses 3 to 8, is part of a letter that was written to Christians in ancient Rome over 2,000 years ago. In the section just before what we read today, the author has been speaking about how God has mercy on us. God has mercy on us. By having mercy, that means that God has treated us better than we deserve. God treating us better than we deserve. You see, Christians believe that everyone has rejected God and chosen to live their own way instead. And it seems only right then that God would reject those people who have rejected him. But the thing is that because God is the creator and sustainer of all life, if God were to reject someone, that person would have no more life. And because God loves the people that he's made, he loves you and us, he doesn't want them to have no life. He wants them to have life. And so God shows mercy to us by allowing people to live. He goes further than that, though. Not only does he let people live, but he tries to fix the damaged relationship as well. Now, he can't just ignore the wrong things that have happened. He can't just ignore our rejection of him. But instead of making us pay for it, he pays for it himself. God comes to earth as a man called Jesus, who never does anything wrong, and then he gives up his life. He dies on a cross. He gives up his life so that people who believe in him can have eternal life with God. This is another way that God shows his mercy to us. He fixes our relationship with him and offers us eternal life in a restored relationship. So, the writer of this letter in Romans is saying, God has done this for you. God has had mercy on you in these ways. So now you should live for God. God has done this for you, so now you should live for God. But how do we do that? How do we live for God? And how does it relate to you and us? Well, let's see what our passage has to say. Our passage opens with a measured call to self-reflection. That's what it says in verse 3. Read it again with me. It says this. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Here, the author is saying that as we try and work out how we can live for God, we need to start by thinking about ourselves, by conducting a bit of a self-assessment. You need to think about who you are. You are what? You are what? That's what the author is calling us to think about. And as you think about that, you're to do it sensibly. You're not to think too highly of yourself. So you're not to answer this by saying, I am the best, most amazing, impressive person that has ever lived in the entire world ever. That's probably a bit too high thinking. And you also shouldn't answer this by saying, I am better than them. That's a bit thinking a bit too highly of yourself as well. Instead, you should think sensibly about yourself. And even though it doesn't say it here, I think the same applies the other way as well. We shouldn't think too lowly of ourselves. And so you shouldn't answer this statement by saying, I am worthless. I am stupid. I am nothing. That's not conducting a sensible self-assessment of yourself either. We're called to think about who we are. We're called to do it sensibly. And we're called to do it in light of the faith that God has distributed to each of us. Now, that means we're called to think about who we are in light of what we know about God and the faith that we have in him. So that means your answer might be, I am saved. I am a child of God. If I were to ask you this, how would you respond? Well, that's activity number two. How would you respond? Take 30 seconds to write down, how would you finish this statement? I am what? What would you say? Take 30 seconds. We're not going to share, but just write down as many answers as you can from as many different areas of your life. I am what? Write some things down. Go. All right, well, that's 30 seconds. Hopefully you managed to get a few things written down in that time. And I wonder what you wrote down. Like I said, we're not going to share. But perhaps you wrote down things related to your faith. You said, I am Christian. I am saved. Things like that. Perhaps you wrote down things to do with your relationships. I am a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, son, daughter, dad, mum. Perhaps you wrote down things to do with your ethnicity. I am Chinese, Filipino, Australian, British. Perhaps you wrote down how you spend your time. I am an accountant. I am a nurse. I am a student. I am a gamer. I am a photographer. Perhaps you wrote down what you're good at. I am good with kids. I am a good listener. Or perhaps you wrote down your feelings. I am happy. I am sad. I am exuberant. I'm lonely. There are so many different ways that each of us can finish this statement. There are so many different ways, but our passage today gives us three endings to this statement that apply to all Christians. And these three endings can help us understand how we can live for God and help us understand how we as individuals can help us as a community live out our mission, vision, and values. So let's look at those three endings to this statement. The first ending our passage gives us comes in verses 4 and 5. Let's read it again and see if you can work out what it is. It says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." What's the ending here? Well, this is saying that if you are a Christian, then you are part of the body of Christ. You are part of the body of Christ. Now, if you're new to church, this might sound really weird. It might sound like we're all some strange Frankenstein kind of one body with different appendages and a second head. That's not what it's getting at, though. What it means is that everyone who is a Christian is a part of the same organism, is a part of the same being, is a part of the same experience in a way. It's saying that we're all a part of the church. Everyone who is a Christian is a part of the church. The church is the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. That is, he's the one at the top who's ultimately in charge and who directs us in what we do. And every other Christian that is currently alive on the planet is a part of his body. Now, there might be some arguments over who's a legitimate Christian or not, but we're not going to get into that today. Instead, we need to recognize that everyone who's a Christian is part of the body of Christ, is a part of the church. And that means that if you call yourself a Christian, then you are a part of the body of Christ. You are a part of the church. We become part of it when we believe in Jesus, whether we like it or not. It's inescapable, it's unavoidable. Every Christian is a part of the body of Christ. And that means, verse 5 says, that each of us belongs to one another. While our society might say that we're all individuals who can do whatever we want and don't have to care about anybody else, that's not the case for Christians. Christians are a part of the body of Christ, and so we are part of one body, the church. Therefore, we need to give ourselves for the rest of that body. Look at what else these verses say, though, because they don't just say that we're all the same part of the body, do they? No. Instead, they say that our body has lots of different parts with lots of different functions, and that the body of Christ is the same. Now, this makes sense. My ear does something different to my tongue, which does something different to my fingers. Different parts, different functions. And in the church, it's the same thing. Here, there are different people who have different functions. We do different things. We make different contributions to the life of the church. It's not that all Christians do the same thing in the church. No, it's that we have different functions. We are different parts of the same body, doing different things, but working towards the same mission. So, here's activity number three for us. It's a bit of a fun one. What part of the body would you say you are, and why? We're not talking about the body of Christ, we're talking a physical body. If you had to say you were a part of a physical body, which part of the body would you say you are? Are you a knee? Are you a nose? What part of the body are you, and why are you saying that you're that part of the body? So pick something, have fun with this, pick something, come up with a reason. Take 30 seconds to write it down, and then we'll share with those people again. Which part of the body are you? Go. Alright, that's not exactly 30 seconds, but hopefully you've got something. Turn and talk with the people around you and share, which part of the body are you? All right, wrap up your sharing, folks. Wrap up your sharing. That's good. Well done. Very good. Well, I hope that was a bit of fun. If you would ask me, I would say that I'm part of the stomach because I like to take complex things and digest them into their basic elements to help the rest of the body use them. And I also like eating. So that's the first ending of our passage. You are part of the body of Christ. You're not the same part as every other Christian, but you're still part of the same body. You are part of the body of Christ. The second ending comes in the beginning of verse 6. Again, let's read it and see if you can spot it. It says this: "We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." What's this saying? This is saying that you are gifted. You are gifted. Now, for some of you, this makes perfect sense. Yes, of course, you say. Of course, Jonjo, of course I'm gifted. People tell me all the time how gifted I am. And to you, I say, that's great. I'm glad you have such great self-awareness and self-confidence. Remember to assess yourself sensibly, though. For others of you, however, this might come as news. You might not feel all that gifted. You might think that all you're good for is taking up space on this earth. You've never had anyone tell you that you're gifted in certain ways. Well, for you, this is the truth. You are gifted. You are gifted in some way. Note how this verse says that we have different gifts. We've just mentioned how we're different parts of the body of Christ with different functions, and so it makes sense, therefore, that we would have different gifts. Well, we do different things within the church, so we have different gifts to do those different things. And note also how we have received these gifts. These gifts have come to us by grace. By grace. Now, what is grace? Well, grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. It's a blessing that God gives to us without us doing anything to deserve it. And when it comes to gifts, it's really important to keep this idea of God's grace in mind. We only have our gifts because of God's grace. We only have our gifts because of God's grace. And it's important to remember with gifts because sometimes we can be at risk of thinking that the gifts that we have are our own doing. We think we've worked really hard in life, and so of course we're gifted in these areas. So, for example, I would say that I'm gifted in music. I have the ability to understand music and know what's happening when I hear it, to play lots of instruments, to arrange and compose music. And the danger for me is to think, oh, well, Jonjo, of course you're gifted in music. You spend hours and hours working at it over the course of your life. Now, of course, this is true that I have spent lots of time working at it over the course of my life. But it's foolish of me to think that my musical ability is just my own doing. I've worked hard at lots of other things in my life and had very dissimilar results. I learned German for 4 years in high school and I can only remember 2 sentences. I'm not gifted in German. So we have to recognize that our gifts come to us by God's grace. God has given us, each of us, particular things that we're inclined to be good at, and we're responsible for what we do with that gift, but it comes because of God's grace to us. So, what gifts do you have? This is activity number 4. What gifts do you have? Again, we're going to take 30 seconds, write them down, and then I want you to share them. Think of a couple of things that you are gifted at, things you're naturally inclined to be good at or skilled in. Remember, sensible self-assessment, no boasting, but again, don't be too humble and say there's nothing that you're gifted at. There's something for each of us. So have a think, write down a bunch, and then share with the people around you. All right, go. All right, turn to the people near you. Make sure everyone gets a chance to share at least one. And if you know a gift that they have they're not recognizing, encourage them. Say, I think you're gifted in this as well. So turn, have a share, see what you're gifted in. Okay, folks, good sharing again. Well done. So that's the second ending to our statement. You are part of the body of Christ. You are gifted. But what does this all this mean for how we live for God? And what does this mean for you and us? Well, it comes down to the third ending, and let's look at it together now. The third ending comes from the rest of our passage, from the second half of verse 6 through to verse 8. Again, let's read it, and we'll see if you can work out what the third ending is. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. What do we see here? Well, here the author is saying, you are part of the body of Christ, you are gifted, so use your gifts for the body of Christ. Bring those two things together. Don't think, oh, of course I'm part of the church. And then also think, oh, of course I'm gifted in administration, but then never help the church with administration. That's not right at all. Bring these two things together. God has made you a part of his body, the church. And God has graciously given gifts to you, so use your gifts in the church. This is the third ending. You are part of the body of Christ. You are gifted. You are a gift to the body of Christ. You are a gift to the body of Christ. You are blessed with gifts, skills, and talents that you can and are to use for the body of Christ. And this is one way that you can help us live out our mission, vision, and values by using your gifts here at our church, by serving. One of our newly adopted values here at the church is generosity. And it says that we are generous with the time, talents, and resources that God has given us. We are generous with the time, talents, and resources that God has given us. How are you doing with that? How generous are you with the time, talents, and resources that God has blessed you with? In particular this morning, how generous are you with the talents, the gifts that God has given you? Now, don't get me wrong. I recognize that we can and we should use our gifts outside of the church as well. And I recognize that each of our lives is filled with things demanding our time and attention and gifts. But amidst all of that, we should not neglect the church. And so I ask, are you being a gift to the body of Christ? Are you serving? Now, at a small church like this, it's easy for the answer to be yes. Yes, of course I'm serving Jonjo. I do two different things on the roster, and I do extra things at the service whenever I'm asked to do. Are you saying that I'm not serving? No, that's not what I'm saying. All of that serving is greatly appreciated. It's what enables us as a church to continue in our life together. But what I want you to imagine is, what would it look like if you were using your gifts to their maximum potential here at our church? What would it look like if you were using your gifts to their fullest here at Baptist Community Church, Burwood? What roles would you be serving in? How would you go about serving? What attitude would you have to serving? So here's our fifth activity for this morning. I want you to think about what you can do about serving at church. How are you going to serve us so that we can live out our mission, vision, and values? Are you going to start serving for the first time? Are you going to start serving in new ways? Are you going to stop serving in some ways and start serving in other ways that are more aligned with your gifts? Are you going to keep serving how you currently are but change your attitude towards serving? Or are you going to come and talk to me after the service because you have no idea what to do? What are you going to do to help us live out our mission, vision, and values here at this church? Take a minute to reflect and write down your answers. We're not going to share these, so just write them down. What are you going to do to help us live out our mission, vision, and values here? Well, hopefully you were able to write something down in that time. And I would like to add that everyone, remember everyone, is a part of the body of Christ. So if you're struggling and thinking, oh, well, I can't because I'm too young, I'm too old, my English isn't good enough, I haven't been here for all that long, you are still a part of this body, you are still gifted, and you are still to serve. You are still a gift to this body. So hopefully you thought of something and you were able to reflect and write something down there. There's one more step that I would like you to do, and you can see that on the bottom of your handout. That is to email or message me with what you've decided to do. You can just shoot me a text, you can shoot me a quick email, just say, hey, I decided to do this today. Particularly, get in touch with me if you want to start serving, or if you want to start serving in new ways, or if you don't have a clue what to do. Get in touch, and we'll chat, and we'll work out how you can use your gifts to help the body of Christ here in our church. Once again, I just really want to thank all of you who currently serve here at our church for the many different things you do. Much of it behind the scenes, all of it is greatly appreciated. It really is a fantastic church family that we have here. Still, though, this challenge remains. How can every single one of us use the gifts that God has given us to glorify Him by serving here at this church? You are a part of the body of Christ. You are gifted, and you are a gift to the body of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy given to us through Jesus Christ, which means that we are saved from our damaged relationship with you and can have eternal life with you instead. We thank you also that we are saved into the body of Christ, the church, and that you have blessed each of us with gifts. Lord, we pray that as we live out our life together as a community, that we would be making good use of our gifts to better the church and to glorify you. Please help us as we reflect and act on this throughout the rest of the week. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.